In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you today, and I am pumped for today's show. We're talking about what is a strong woman. Great topic today. You know, I personally have been surrounded most of my life by very strong women. My mother, that should go without saying, amazing woman of God, one of the strongest women I've ever known. My sister, my wife, of course, my daughter, some school teachers. And of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you see the woman behind me there depicted so beautifully in the Pietà, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so excited to talk about what is a strong woman, and would love to hear from you. If you want to share with us what your thoughts are about what a strong woman is, or if you want to tell us about the strong women in your life, give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're calling from outside of North America, just dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com. And you can now text your message to 1-833-288-EWTN. Again, text 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Well, today, typically, okay, yeah, it's Tuesday. You know, just the week is just kind of getting started, you know, going through your normal routine. Same thing with me. I got up, did my walk today, my usual stuff. But today is special because it's Father Joseph's birthday today. So if you can wish Father Joseph a happy birthday, say a prayer for him, maybe dedicate your rosary to him today, that would be awesome. So Father Joseph, happy birthday from the EWTN Radio family and from me here and all of our listeners here on Beacon of Truth. Have a very blessed and joy-filled birthday celebration today. And today's also a little bittersweet day for me as well, because today is the funeral of the former abbot of Newark Abbey, Abbot Melvin Valvano. So Abbot Melvin was the abbot when I first was a college. When I was a high school student and I did the Come and See program. He was the abbot at that time. He was the abbot also when I was in the monastery. He was abbot for Newark Abbey, boy, for about almost 40 years, an amazing run. And, he recently, retired, about two and a half, 3 years ago. And, Abbot Augustine now is the abbot, who was actually a roommate when he was a postulant and I was a high school student, and they were doing renovations in the monastery, and we stayed in a temporary, it's called the Turrell House. It's a spot on the campus, high school campus there, St. Benedict's, where, at least back then, I don't know how it's used now, but they used to house students who had issues like at home and needed a safe place to go. You know, if there was some abuse or drug use or something going on at home and they didn't feel safe, they could come and live at the school. And Mr. Bernard Green, who also recently passed away, who was the dean of students, lived there and oversaw that facility. So so the monks lived in there temporarily while they were renovating the monastery for a year. And I roomed part of that time with Father Augustine, who's now Abbot Augustine. But please pray for the repose of the soul of Abbot Melvin Valvano, whose funeral is today at Newark Abbey. And I was remembering him today, dedicated my rosary to him today during my walk. A wonderful man of God. Taught me a lot, you know, had some wonderful conversations with him, both when I was discerning vocation in high school and then, of course, when I was in the monastery as well. And so please say a prayer for both those wonderful men of God, Father Joseph on his birthday and Abbot Melvin on his birthday into heaven, I guess you could say. You know, so please remember both those wonderful men of God in your prayers today. So today, again, we're talking about what is a strong woman. So what we're going to do is going to take a look biblically, like what was the biblical foundation for what is a strong woman. And then, of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Got a question from a listener. Remember, you can always email us if you can't, are unable to call in. You can always send us an email at beacon@ew10.com. So I got a question from a listener. I'm located in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm having difficulty locating a spiritual director who has knowledge of how to share this vision / witness with others in these times of social media. The two spiritual directors I have found have been wonderful, who live contemplative lives, but are unable to direct me on how to share this in the world today. So I'm thinking the listener is talking about sharing the faith, evangelizing. How do you do that? Looking for some spiritual direction, how to do that through social media, and is having a hard time finding a spiritual director who's knowledgeable in the area of sharing the faith in the 21st century using contemporary means of communication. I think that's what the issue is. And then they continue, as you journey through life, if you happen to come across anyone who could be helpful on how to share the experience, knowledge, vision, or what kind of book to write, that would be wonderful. I want their hearts to be on God, the people that this person is trying to evangelize, and help build a kingdom by sharing his good news with others. That's wonderful that you have a heart for that. So I'd say a couple of things. First of all, I don't think you really need spiritual direction specifically for how to share your faith on social media. Spiritual direction is more big picture, macro view of yourself. Like, what kinds of things? Where are my blind spots spiritually? What kind of things do I need to be working on? How do I avoid temptations to sin? How do I grow more in virtue? How do I live the Beatitudes better in my life? Like those kinds of things, like big picture stuff. I don't think spiritual direction really works for such a narrow vision of, okay, how do I share this faith on social media? How do I get across it? I think that's something. Now, maybe you go to a spiritual director to help get you in the right spiritual mindset, that have the right framework for articulating the faith, but doing it on social media, I don't think you're going to find spiritual direction for that. So I think there's a couple of things. There's a book. There's several books out there about sharing your faith on social media. One that comes to mind is Brandon Vaught. He works with Bishop Barron at Word on Fire. And he wrote a book. I'm trying to recall the name of it right now. But I could tell you this, our very own Father Mitch Pacwa wrote the foreword to this book, Brandon's book, about sharing the faith on social media. So that would be a great place to start for sure. Brandon's written a bunch of books, but the book that I'm thinking of is called The Church and the New Media, right? The Church and the New Media by Brandon Vaught. That's V-O-G-T. And again, I believe the foreword was written by Father Mitch Pacwa. So that would be a place to give you some ideas and some direction on where to go from there. But spiritual direction per se, I don't think that I think that's a little bit too narrow for spiritual direction. Because spiritual direction, again, is about the macro. It's about deepening your relationship with God, and that takes time. So we're talking about longer discussions. And that's why I don't do spiritual direction. People ask me often, oh, can I use spiritual direction? The thing is, spiritual direction is really a relationship. And so I am so busy between my responsibilities with my apostolate and doing this show, which I love, and my family responsibilities and my parish responsibilities and starting a doctoral program. I just don't have time to develop that kind of relationship with someone in spiritual direction. So, so I, hopefully that will be helpful to you as you discern. Now, again, one thing you want to do is to make sure that when you're posting things, that you're thoughtful, that you have something to say. You're not just saying, you know, that you're not being vitriolic, that you're being, you know, you're proclaiming the truth of the faith in love, Ephesians 4:15. And also understand that you are going to get people who don't like what you say, no matter what you say. It could be great, faithful to the church, but people aren't going to like it. They're going to be trolls on there. They're going to be people arguing with you on there. So you need to be prepared for that. All right. But, you know, if you feel that strong that God is calling you to that, go for it. And maybe bounce a couple of things off of people before you post to get some objective perspective. All right. Hope that's helpful to you. All right. What is a strong woman? That's our topic today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN.
It's summertime.
Oh, yeah. That's the club feel for sure, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's going to the beach, man. Grab your cooler, get your beach towel.
Yep. Yep. There you go. Love that. I love the syncopation. I just love that feel, you know?
Kind of Beyonce-esque a little bit.
And the beat. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's definitely summer feel-good music for sure.
Right? Make it count.
Now, back in the day, did you like one of those guys that rolled down the windows and looked like the people
of
just
course
hear what was
I was. I had the mullet flowing, man. It was grand.
What?
Yeah.
What? Ooh.
Had the little Prince mustache, man. I thought I was fly.
What?
It was.
Wow.
As legend as your fro once was, the stash and the mullet.
I even had Jerry curls at one time, too.
Let your soul go.
I know. Yikes, man. Yikes. What were you thinking? You know, but that was a style back then, you know?
All we can do is pray that it comes back, and then we just laugh at everyone else that has it.
That's too late for me now.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. We don't have to. We lived it once. We made it a trend. Now it's on to someone else to keep that torch alive.
Yeah, but all that stuff you have to put in your hair for the Jerry curls, man. That gel or whatever. Yeah. What do you call it? Jerry curl juice.
Yeah. I was always jealous of my bros who had that perfect part in the middle that could, like, run their fingers through it, and then it would fall back in place with no problems.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's cool hair right there, man.
Oh, man, what awesome memories, I tell you.
Right?
Summer, great time.
Yep.
Although now, though, you know, I'm noticing that the days are getting just a little bit shorter now because we passed the summer solstice, you know, the longest day of the year. And so I woke up at 5 this morning. It was dark. I'm like, wait a minute. It's supposed to be light out now. But wait a minute. We're on the other side now where the days are getting just a little incrementally shorter every day. I don't like that.
Yeah, I blinked and I'm like, July. Like the kids are like a few weeks away from school. I'm like, what happened?
Yikes. Yep. Man, it just goes by too fast, man.
Yeah. Well, I know in our house, we've been planning for my daughter's wedding. So everything was like, go, 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 go. And then once we hit it, it was like, oh, wow, here we are. It was June. And then before we knew it, June was done and July was here. So that's the thing is when you have the one thing you look forward to and then it passes, what I'm hoping is maybe the rest of the year might go slow enough that I can enjoy it a little bit.
So, yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to... I'm not traveling this week, so I'm going to be actually home this whole weekend, the weekend. So I'm catching up, getting some things done, sorting through some books, getting stuff ready for school, and I got the USCCB homily and I got all kinds of stuff I'm doing. So, so it's great though, but not have to worry about leaving and going somewhere. That's kind of a nice feeling. So this is kind of my little summer break, if you will.
Yeah. Do you get to that place where like when you do have a day of nothing that you're able to do it guilt-free?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Same.
Yeah, because I'm usually a workaholic.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten to a point now, maybe because you know I'm in the latter years or whatever you want to call it. I tell you, I got my first senior discount in Barbados.
Hey.
They said, "How old are you?" And I just said, "I'm 60." And they said, oh, you could get a disc. I'm like, I mean, they asked me not thinking about a disc. I just thought they were just whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, you can get a discount. I'm like, a discount? Yeah, for a senior. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me, man. What?
I love that. Yeah, the first time I got my invitation to the AARP, I told my wife, I said, hey, you can join it early. She's like, don't age me. She's like, I'm not gonna willingly go, oh, my husband is a member. She's like,
and my wife already did that. So as soon as they started sending it, I said, no, don't. I said, just threw it out. Like, no, I don't even want to see that. And she's like, no, I want to sign up now. I'm like, no.
That's amazing.
You got to embrace it, though, every phase of life, though, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, I was kind of reluctant or whatever when you hit six. Like, the difference between 59 and 60, like, when you get that six, it's like, ooh, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, this is serious now, that kind of thing, you know?
I've always joked that I have an old soul. So I feel like my body's finally catching up with where my soul and spirit have been, which I have my mom to thank for that as we talk about strong women today. Because my mom was always like, she was so close to my great grandparents. And when they passed, I mean, it was like losing a parent because they were so tightly knitted soul-wise and spiritually. And so I kind of feel like that's the same thing because, like, when, you know, now that my daughter's married, she's like, Dad, have you thought about what you want the grandkids to call you? I said, I think it's time to revive, like, Granddad or Grand or, you know, Grands or something. And they're like, no. I was like, come on. It's like, I said, honestly, as long as they call me, it's what my mom used to always say. She's like, as long as they call me, I don't care what they call me. And so,
oh, there you go. That's a good perspective.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. I guess that's the next thing one of these days,
right.
The grandparent thing. I'm not in a rush.
That's it. We get to spoil them, send them home to Sugar High. It's excellent.
There you go. Yeah, I love that. I'm Deacon Hal Burks. Here is listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about what is a strong woman. And we'd love to hear from you about the strong women in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Great book to add to your summer reading is The Martyrs of the New Millennium. Of course, Robert Royal giving us insights into priests, religious and lay people who are literally have lived the faith. They've been through it. And of course, whether it be anything from cults to groups and anything beyond that, you're finding out more in their threats and what they learn, what we can learn from them in our own struggling and juggles that we have. The Martyrs of the New Millennium is available in the religious catalog. Easy to find when you go to EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, what is a strong woman? That's our topic today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you today. In addition to calling, you can always text us as well. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. All right, so let's dive right in. So I want to establish a biblical foundation for strong women. All right, so if we go to Genesis chapter 2, we see there it says in the second creation narrative, this is when God creates man, Adam, right, and puts him in the garden to till and to keep it, to serve, protect, and defend. Then he says it's not good. It talks about the tree and all that. Then he says it's not good for the man to be alone. Why? I mean, he's complete and sufficient within himself, right? So why is it not good for him to be alone? Here's why. In Genesis chapter 1, remember it says that we are made in God's image and likeness, right? So God himself exists as a family, as a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God exists as a family, as a communion of persons. And so if we are made in the image and likeness of God, then the humanity needs to imitate, right? In a sense, emulate, mirror that relationship of God. So it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, why? To be created and loved by God is awesome. Awesome to be created and loved by God. But because we're made in the image and likeness of God, being created and loved by God is not enough. What matters beyond just merely existing is to be loved by another person, so that the love that we have within us from God finds expression, right? So why? God the Father, right? He generates love, and that he generates that and when he generates, that's the Word, right? So he generates the Word that was begotten, not made, right? Begotten, not made. So the love between the Father and the Son generate a third. That's the Holy Spirit, who give love and life back to the Father, right? So God loves Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfectly, in a complete and perfect union of love. That's called fancy language, circumcision or divine perichoresis. All that means is the love of God within Himself. And so human beings are called to imitate the very life of God. So that's why being by Himself makes no sense, because that love that He has from God has to have expression. And so it said, I will make a, because what does He know by Himself? He knows that He's superior to all the other things that God created, right? Why? Because He's self-aware, right? He could look around and see that He's superior to all these other things. So there's an interior subjectivity that He has just by the very nature of who He is. He's conscious and aware of being in a relationship with God. But the one thing is that He has no one to share that with. He has no one to share that experience with. So God says, I will make a helper fit for Him. So God wants to create someone through which He can have a unique, exclusive, and unrepeatable relationship, right? That reflects the relationship that He has with God, right? And so I'll make a helper. So the word helper is actually a compound word in Hebrew, helpmate, azet, or kenegdo. Now, this is interesting. This is the only place where those words show up together. Azeter shows up a number of times in Scripture. A kenegdo shows up a number of times in Scripture. But together, this is the only place in Genesis 2:18. So azeter means help. But whenever you see azeter used, for example, in Deuteronomy 33, in fact, several times in Deuteronomy 33, Psalm 20, Psalm 30, Psalm 70, a number of the other Psalms, and Hosea 13:9, it means help that comes from God, right? Heavenly help, divine assistance, right? And kenegdo is a preposition. It means someone that stands opposite or parallel to you, who helps, aids, assists, surrounds, and protects and defends, okay? So when you put those words together, it's someone who comes to the aid of man, who helps, aids, assists, protects, and defends. That help is comes from God. So this is not just someone that's a maid or this is someone that's that is providing this strength that comes from God. This is godly help, godly assistance, right? And so He creates. How does He go about creating this azet or kenegdo, this partner? He says he put the man into a deep sleep, then he takes out a rib, builds up a woman, and then brings him to the man. Oh, there's so much going on there. So first of all, it says the sleep is teredema. It means a deep sleep without consciousness or dreams. So he doesn't start over again. He doesn't take another lump of dirt or clay or dust and create someone separate. No, he takes a part of him to create her. Right. So teredema is a deep sleep without consciousness or dreams. So there's no participation in the creation of the woman by the man. He doesn't create her, but God uses part of him to create her. And so when someone's in a teredema, this deep sleep, during that sleep or as soon as they wake up, there's something extraordinary happens. There's an extraordinary event that happens. We see this in Genesis 15. 1 Samuel 26, Isaiah 29, Job twice in Job, Job 4 and Job 33, where we see that this teredema. And it really points also to Jesus on the cross. While He's in a sleep of death, God creates His church from His side, right? So can't wait to dive into this even more. But we want to hear from you today. Strong women today, 833-288-WTN.
Didn't expect that hip hop in there.
I was just about to say, wait a minute, where'd that come from? You thought it was going to be a little rock and roll. All of a sudden, bam.
It's a summer mishmash.
Beat drops. That is awesome. See, I love that mixing of genres. You know, we see that a lot in with food right now, right? You see, like, what do you call it? Fusion?
Yeah.
You know, like, you have, like, Asian and Italian or Korean and Mexican or something like that. And so, that, you know, you see that music, too.
That's right.
Yeah, we got a little fusion going on there.
It's nice that the influence has spilled over into other platforms, right? After years of meshing music together.
Well, you see that, too, like, with... Oh, what's her name? Taylor Swift, right? We start off with country.
Yeah.
And then kind of, you know, you crossover, right? We just got crossover songs that don't necessarily define one genre, crosses from one to another.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, you have pop, rock, or you have, you know, country and something, you know, so the songs may transcend both of those genres. I think it's pretty cool, actually.
Well, and a lot of times artists, after you've established yourself in one genre, you're like, oh, I'm kind of feeling stale here, and you venture out. Sometimes you may come back to those roots, but if not, you've at least found a way to expand yourself, and then sometimes you see where the worlds kind of marry together at some point.
Yeah, and sometimes when artists do that, when it's forced, it doesn't work.
Right.
Because you'd like, you scratch your head like, huh?
Like when Kiss tried to do a disco song. I don't know what I'm talking
about. Oh, yeah. Or Hot Space by Queen. Like, ooh, yikes. See, they tried to do like the disco kind of pop. Like, no, guys. Stay in your lane.
Yes, please.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I'm Deacon Howard Brooks. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about what is a strong woman. Would love to hear about the strong women in your life, those women in your life who had tremendous influence in your life. You know, would love to hear about how their strength, you know, helped you to become the person that you are today. And that could be, you know, your mother, your sister, or it could be a saint, right? Like the Blessed Virgin Mary. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I want to invite you to join me for Catholics Coast to Coast as we get to spotlight what's happening at Podcast Central. And you can catch up this summer on several that you may not have heard of yet, one of which is this week talking about the Eucharist and being a Eucharistic man. I love this vibe because it's coming from the Catholic Man Show, one of the great podcasts we're spotlighting this week. So 2 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. It's Catholics Coast to Coast right here on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends. What is a strong woman? That's our topic today. We're laying a biblical foundation, but would love to hear from you about the strong women in your life that helped you become who you are today. Maybe played a big role or influence in your development or in your career choice or, you know, in school. Maybe it was a teacher. Could be, you know, your mom. It could be someone else. It could be a saint. Would love to hear from you today. What is a strong woman? What do you think of some of the characteristics of a strong woman? Which, by the way, doesn't mean trying to be a man. Right? Let's get that clear. So a woman who tries to do what men do or tries to emulate men, that's not being a strong. That's just emulating men. That's not being a woman. You know, so let's talk about that. What is a strong woman? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right, in laying a biblical foundation, I was going back to the idea of the man in the deep sleep, and that deep sleep takes out a rib. Now, in Hebrew, it is not rib. The word is actually selau, which means side. So if you read it in Hebrew, it says he took his side and created him, not rib. Now, why did they insert the word rib there in English? Because if we say side, you mean left side, right side, side of fries, you know, side means a lot of things. One word can mean a lot of different things. If a Hebrew person, Israelite would have heard selau, side, they knew it would have meant the middle. And the idea here is it shows the common nature that they share. And if he took a bone from the upper part of the body, she'd be greater than him. If he took a bone from the lower part of the body, she'd be less than him. It took a rib or bone from the side to show that she's equal to him, right? Equal in dignity before God, and shows the common nature from which they come from. Beautiful allusion to the cross. Jesus is in the tetradema, the sleep of death, and when Longinus spears him in the side, blood and water flow out, right? St. John Chrysostom and other fathers of the church will say blood for the Eucharist and water for baptism. The church, the bride, comes forth from the side of the bridegroom on the cross. Beautiful fulfillment of what we're seeing here in Genesis 22:22. The other thing that I want to point out here, it says that he took the rib, made the woman, and brought her to the man. He took the rib and made her into made it into a woman. That's very interesting. It doesn't say he built a woman, right? Because the word for built in Hebrew is bana, and that means to build or construct, like a house or something like that. What's interesting here, when it says in Hebrew, it says he made it into a woman, the rib from the side, it's wa'iben, wa'iben. So wa'iben, made into, is the same word that they use for constructing the temple. They don't use a regular word. They don't use bana when it talks about building or constructing the temple, because this is the place where God dwells, where the place where God resides. And so they use wa'iben for construction of something that's sacred. And so this is the same word that's used. He made it into a woman. He, you know, constructed a woman. But the specific word wa'iben, again, built. But there's a sacredness and a holiness here in her, right? There's a strength in her by the very nature of who she is. She didn't do anything to earn that strength. It's by the very nature of who she is that women are strong. I love that. And one thing that I found during the pandemic when I was reading books of the Bible I normally don't read is Proverbs 31. So I got to the end of Proverbs 31, and it said, so I was reading, it was talk toward the end of that proverb, talks about women. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She girds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong. That's beautiful. I've never seen a description of a woman girding her loins before until I read Proverbs. Because girding your loins is the way a man prepared for battle. But this is the woman girding her loins and makes her arms strong, right? It shows by the very nature of who she is a source of strength. So the man and the woman she's created from inside, they together are fighting against the forces of evil, like the in the garden, right? They confront Satan. Now, of course, they both fell for the wiles of Satan, but the idea is in that relationship that imitates the relationship of God within himself, that it's from that strength that comes from God that they're able to live out their vocation in the earth and fight together against the forces of evil that are trying to destroy covenant relationship with God, right? So, yeah, so women are strong by the very nature of who they are, right? And I just don't like that people say women are weak, women are weak. That's not what the Bible says, you know? Because here's what we want to do. We want to say women are weak. Now St. Peter does say the women are the weaker sex, but remember he uses a specific word in Greek, asteneo, which is a word they use for a support column that's compromised. Like after an earthquake, right? You just can't occupy a building because the building's been weakened, it's been compromised. That's the word he uses there. So he's talking about physical weakness. That's not misogynistic. For example, right now, my wife and I are tennis fans, right? So Wimbledon is on, the tennis tournament. Now, in a typical tennis tournament, they usually play, men and women play the best of three sets, okay? So two out of three, right? Except in Wimbledon and the other major tennis tournaments, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and the Australian Open, the women still play the best out of three sets, but the men play the best three out of five. So why does the men play more sets than the women? In golf, like if you look at the PGA or WPGA tournament, they play on the same course, a par five for the men golfers may be, I don't play golf, so I'm just making up something, 580 yards, okay? That same par five hole for a woman will be 490 yards. Why? because again, has nothing to do with the disposition of women, or women are less than men. It has nothing to do with it. They're talking about physicality. That's why there's women sports. That's why you don't see women playing in the NBA or women playing in the NFL or in tennis. There's a women's tennis and there's men. It has to do with physicality. That's it. But that doesn't mean morally, spiritually, or any other kind of way that women are weak. In fact, I would argue that in some spiritual aspects, women are actually stronger than men. Bam! That's truth. I just dropped some truth there for you. So in a lot of ways that the women are even stronger, right? So what are we talking about here? We're talking about strong. We can't use secular ways of thinking and understanding where we're competing against each other. Because when we do that, what we end up doing is saying, well, a woman is strong if she can do what men do. No, that doesn't make a woman strong. Because doing what men do, that makes you a copycat. You're trying to emulate. I think you're denying your femininity when you're trying to be like a man. Right? That's the truth. So we're talking about strong women, those beautiful traits within a woman that make her strong. And notice with the man and the woman, there's a unity within the complementarity of their being. What makes a man a man, what makes a woman a woman, those gifts complement each other. And it's the unity. It's precisely because of the differences that they have that they're able to have unity, right? So the interchange of knowledge and love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a profound unity, and a very deep and profound unity that is reflected in the union of a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. Right. And so this is the Eucharistic aspect of interpersonal communion. Damn, this is awesome. This is deep. You know, so women are strong. And that's what we're talking about. Strong women today. Would love to hear from you. Hear about the strong women in your life. It could be a mom, could be a sister, could be an aunt or a grandmother, could be a saint like Saint Therese of Lisieux, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, or the woman standing behind me here, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Would love to hear from you about strong women in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Remember, you can also text us as well, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. You say what's your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question or comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And we just received a text from an anonymous listener. It says, my mom in Billings, Montana knows everything. She is a strong woman. To me, I admire her. Amen. I would say the same thing about my mom as well. You know, my mom is very simple faith. You know, she was a cardiac care nurse, so she was highly skilled as a nurse, but her faith was just very simple. You know, she didn't know a ton of theology or apologetics or anything like that. But I tell you this, I am, I think, partially spiritually the person I am today because of the influence of my mom. There's no question or doubt about it. My mom loved the Lord. She loved her Catholic faith. She never missed Mass. You know, and would take us and to the best of her ability, try to explain. She would lead us in prayers, you know, and she would encourage us. When I wanted to serve Mass and when I was playing the choir, you know, I would sing and play guitar in our choir. Yeah, I know. This is the 70s we're talking about here. You know, that she encouraged that. The more time we can spend in church or before God, the better. And she was so great. So I totally agree with our listener here. All right. We're talking about what is a strong woman today on Beacon of Truth. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Willie's calling from Columbia, South Carolina, listening on Catholic Radio in the great state of South Carolina. Willie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. My question to you is, why do you think women are taking more of a leadership role than men today?
Leadership role in what aspect?
In politics.
You mean in the family or in the church, in society?
In
like
politics.
Where? I'm sorry.
In church, in politics.
Okay, so a couple things. When it comes to the secular world, politics, government, corporations, there should be no disparity at all. I'm talking women could do what men, because either a man or a woman could be a CEO. Either a man or a woman could run a multinational corporation. That has nothing to do with whether you're a man or a woman. It has to do with your skill set. All right. So we're talking about the gifts that you were given by God and to use those gifts for God's glory in the secular environment. Politics, government, private business, whatever that may be. Now we're talking about the church. Remember, we talked about there's a distinction between man and woman is the complementarity of the distinctions that make them, that enable them to have unity. So for in the church, for example, like for example, right now, EWTN's director, vice president for communications, Monsi, was just named the prefect for the Vatican's Congregation on Communication, the first woman ever to hold that position in the church. You know, so they recognize her skill set and her tremendous talent and abilities to be able to communicate well and helping the Vatican communicate better to the world. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. But when it comes to, for example, another anecdote, I'm in parishes all the time. It's usually a different parish every week, somewhere in the United States or around the world. And I would say anecdotally, from my observations, 70 to 75% of the staff at those parishes are women. Women are doing most of the day-to-day work in the parish life, right? But in the family, there's some women that are taking leadership roles in the family because the men aren't stepping up. Because the men aren't really being real men. They're not being real husbands and fathers. And so women have to feel that they have to pick up the slack and fill in the role because the husband is not living up to what he's supposed to be living up to as a man. So that's how I would say that. Is that helpful for you, Willie?
Yes, it is. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are most welcome. Thank you for your call today. And would love to hear from you. What is a strong woman? That is our topic today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Tony is calling from the great state of New York. Listening on EWTN.com. Tony, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, Deacon, I want to tell you about the strongest woman I know in my life. I have known this woman for decades, and by any measure, she has not had an easy life. She's a single woman, and she has had many afflictions throughout her life, many, many afflictions. And if anyone was looking at her life from the outside, most people would say she ain't winning. You know, how tough her life is. But I want to tell you, Deacon, she just keeps plugging away. She keeps trying. She's so aware how weak she is and how much she needs grace. She's not a woman of faith. She didn't get that idea from, some religion or anything. But she just believes, she understands how weak she is and how she needs grace, whatever that is in her conception. And she's able to smile at the littlest things, a puppy, a flower, just laughing, taking my dog through the fountain. And she's such an inspiration to me. And sometimes the women who don't appear to be doing that well are really the strongest women in our midst. And I just wanted to tell you that.
Ah, thank you, Tony. What a wonderful witness. You know, the woman that you're describing here is not a woman of faith, but every single human being, right, has the natural law implanted in them by God. That's called the natural moral law. Every single human being, regardless of race, color, nationality, religion, it's that part of God's eternal law that's implanted in our hearts that says do good and avoid evil, right? So every single human being has that. So for example, if there's an earthquake in Haiti, sometimes an atheist will go to help. They're not doing it I'm a person of faith. I have to help because God says we have to help people. They don't even believe in God, but they're going to help because they're responding from that desire, that natural desire that's implanted by God, even though they don't believe in God, that says do good and avoid evil. So that sounds to me like your your friend here is cooperating beautifully with that natural moral law that God has implanted in her heart. Do good and avoid evil. When you live according to the dictates of the natural moral law, then you will find contentment and peace in the beautiful, simple things in life, which sounds exactly like what she's doing. So I'm so glad that you called today, Tony. I'm so grateful to hear about the witness of your friend, the single woman who's been through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, but still is a beautiful witness of her life. You know, and still not a person of faith, but you know what? She's living according to that natural moral law. Maybe you could be, you know, an influence in her life and just, you know, help her to see, like, you know, I just want to let you know what an inspiration you are to me. You know, just let her know. You know, that would be a beautiful thing. So thank you so much for your call, Tony. Thank you for sharing that with us. And would love to hear from you today. What is a strong woman? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jim is calling from Cottonwood, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Jim, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Deacon, great show. I just got to tell you a story of a woman when I was 20 years old. I'm in a lunchroom, and Ronald Reagan is the assassination attempt takes place. And I went, I said this, good, he deserved it. I mean, my life was so screwed up. And this little 5'2" lady named Marty gets up and proceeds and challenged me on everything that I think that I know about and I believe in. And, I mean, she used words that would have made a sailor blush. And I left that thing, and I wrote down everything she said that I could remember. I went to the library and spent 2 weeks studying to prove her wrong, and I couldn't prove her wrong. And 2 weeks later, I had to come back and apologize to that woman, and she completely brought me back to the faith, got me going to college, and the greatest honor I had was to give the eulogy at her funeral. She was just an amazing woman, and everything she told me were things my mom and dad had said for years. I just had to hear it from somebody else in a way that somebody had the guts to do the way she did it.
You know, Jim, that is awesome. You know, I say all the time, Jim, and you've just proved this correct. You know, when you have kids who are away from the church, one of the things that I tell parents is that pray that God brings someone else into their life besides you. And you just said that beautifully. So your parents were telling you all these things. That's great. But then this other person who's sharing the same truths that your parents tried to share with you, but how come they got through? Because it's not your parents. You're hearing it differently. It hits your heart differently. It hits your mind differently. Right, it causes a different response from you. You went and researched to try to. I'm going to prove her wrong. You know how many times have I heard that too, where people they hear the beauty of the truth and they try to prove it wrong, and just the opposite happens. Like, oh my goodness, if I was wrong about that, what else have I been wrong about? And it causes this deep introspection, kind of a sea change. You know, a shift in their way of thinking, and that eventually leads them on the path to Jesus. You know, and that's what happened to you, Jim. And so I'm so, man, that is so awesome. And to be able to give the eulogy at her funeral, oh, that is awesome. And what a great way to say thank you. You know, we don't do that enough. We recognize people in our lives, women that are important to us. How often do we say thank you, have that opportunity to say? I remember once I was in fifth grade, Sister Mary Keller. If Deacon Walter's listening, he remember this, that Sister Mary Keller created an opportunity for me to attend a pre-Lenten program. Back then it was called Renew. I think I was in sixth grade or something like that. And only the girls signed up for that class. And I didn't want to do what the girls did. So I told Sister, I want to be part of the class, but I don't want to be made fun of. So she found a way to make that happen in a way that only a woman could. And when I was a novice in the monastery, there was a teacher conference at being held at my high school, and she was there, and I got a chance to thank her, because it was that kind of her kind of thinking that led me on the path eventually to becoming a deacon. You know, I thought I was going to be a monk and a priest, but eventually lead me on this path to the diaconate, and she was a stepping stone on that path. So I totally get that. Thank you so much, Jim, for your beautiful call. Oh, man, we got to maybe talk about this topic again. We got people we can't get to because the hour is upon us. So for saints, I'm thinking like Joan of Arc, who led armies into battle, Catherine of Siena, who advised the Pope, St. Teresa of Avila, who reformed convents, and St. Clare of Assisi, who ran away from her parents, and started the women's order of the Franciscans, and Hildegard of Bingen, who was a doctor of the church. All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday tomorrow. Rebecca will be God's Word for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.